Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Truck stop brothels run by a web of ex-cons. A Commonwealth attorney wasted on whiskey and power. Protection exchanged for cash and flesh. This is Hooker Game, Criminals and Libertines in the South. And I am your host and lifelong wayward woman, Dr. Lindsay Byron. Listen to Hooker Gay, Criminals and Libertines in the South on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Susan Messino. We are talking about the life of Freddie Mercury, part of Queen, the incredible group. And, when did the band start together? Susan, when do they get their act together?
Well, Queen got together pretty much. They had everybody in place by 1971, and they played. They changed the name to Queen, and they played for a couple years. And in 1973, they were signed by Elektra Records and put out their first album in 73. Although it didn't do that well for them.
How competitive were they with the Beatles?
I don't think so much, because they came out in the mid 70s, where the Beatles were kind of, you know, they had broken up in the 1970s. So luckily they weren't head to head with those guys, but I'm sure they both appreciated each other's music, because the Beatles songwriting and Freddie's songwriting is otherworldly, basically.
Did Freddie's group want him to get going into the music arena, or did they want him into some other field?
Oh, no. He was definitely the singer and, you know, a very strong influence on the band itself.
But, I mean, his parents. Did his parents want him to do that?
Yeah. No, when he was a kid, he actually he studied graphic art in school. But when he was very young, he had piano lessons. And he learned how to play the piano, little bit of guitar, but usually piano. And by the time he got into St. Peter's School, it's a boys' school in Bombay, he formed his first band.
I mean, he had pipes. He could hit those notes, couldn't he?
Yes, he did. His voice was almost a 4-octave range, basically in the tenor, but 4 octaves, and amazing control over how he could sing.
I know Billy Gibbons quite well from ZZ Top, Susan, and he is, I think, hailed it right now as one of the best guitarists ever. He thought Jimi Hendrix was the best. Hendrix thought Billy Gibbons was. How would you put Brian May in that category?
Oh, absolutely. Right up there. I mean, he is an amazing guitar player and one of the best, I think. You know, right up there along with Billy and Jimmy, I would say.
And, he's still playing, isn't he?
Yeah, they're coming out. Queen is actually coming out with a new release with Adam Lambert, I believe sometime this year. I have to look up the date, but they're working on a whole new thing to come out, and then hopefully tour next year.
Posthumously, Freddie was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame back 19 years ago. It's good that they recognized him, but why so late?
Well, you know, it's weird. The Hall of Fame is they get a lot of grief because of some bands that aren't in and some bands that took forever to be inducted, just like Queen. And now that they're in, but no, they don't induct people, you know, when you think they would, because, yes, it was way overdue.
His birthday is right now, as we've moved into Saturday, and
yes.
He would have been 74 years old.
Yes, happy birthday to Freddie.
I bet he still would have been playing and performing.
Oh, I'm sure he would have.
He had incredible energy, Susan, on stage, mm-hmm. didn't he?
He did. You know, what's funny, though, he was so energetic on stage and such a, you know, a figure bigger than life. And in his real life, he was very quiet, very much a homebody, did not like to do interviews. He didn't like to be around a lot of people. He was very different when he wasn't performing.
Now, they have voted that group as the best group. Best performing group at Live Aid, they just took it by storm, didn't they?
Oh, they wiped the floor. The way I see it, they wiped the floor with that performance, and it was really cool. Brian May said that Freddie had the ability to make the last person back of the furthest stand in the stadium feel like he was connected. That really was his gift.
Sadly, he died of AIDS in 1991. He was only 45 years old, and he didn't tell anybody until like the night before. Why did he wait so long?
I think it goes back to him being very private. Even though he was engaged to a lady named Mary Austin, you know, best friend,
mm-hmm.
They were together for a long time, actually engaged, but he ended up falling in love with a man, Jim Hutton, and spent most of his life with Jim, but he never openly admitted that he was gay. And at the time, even in 91, having AIDS, there was a big stigma about that. And I'm proud of the fact that he at least came out and said it. And when he did, I mean, he was gone the very next day. He told everybody, and he left.
Now, with the medicine they've got available today, in terms of cocktails, they could have prolonged him in his life, I'm sure. I mean, look at Magic Johnson. Look how many years he survived.
Oh, definitely. If he would have been around a little longer, they say that, you know, they have said that he would have had a chance at a much longer life.
Did the band and Freddie, did they all get along all the time, or did they have some internal scuffles every once in a while?
Oh, yeah. I mean, in the movie, you know, they definitely showed a few good arguments going on between the band. But recently, Brian May was talking about that and how he said that, you know, I mean, lots of bands break up for a lot of reasons. And they were like a family. They were, you know, very blunt with each other. And he said a lot of it came from, like, who is really getting most of the credit, which is something very common that happens in bands. And he said they felt like four painters with a brush each, but one canvas. So they were always like they influenced each other, but they pushed and pulled and sometimes said horrible things to each other. But again, you know, just like a family.
He used to call home and want to have his maid put his cats near the phone so he could say hi to them.
Yes. He even wrote a song called Delilah about one of his cats.
I love it.
So he loved his cats.
How would you rate him, Susan? I mean, you know many rock group stars, you know individuals, you know the groups. How would you categorize him and Queen compared to all of the others?
If you're just, well, it's hard to separate, but if you're really listening to the vocals and just the musicianship, everything, Freddie is number one. There's so many that are close, but he has the best voice ever.
Was I a nerd during this era? I mean, why wasn't I into them then?
Same with me. Well, I was listening to Black Sabbath, okay? I'm confessing. I was listening to Black Sabbath and David Bowie and people like that. David Bowie was listening to Queen.
I mean, I would have been in my 20s. That should have been the great time period to really get into this group. Instead, I was, you know, listening to Paul Anka and people like that.
Oh,
who are
well,
pretty darn yeah. good. Bye, there's nothing wrong with him.
It's good. It's good music. You can't take that away from Paul. I mean, he's, you know, he's amazing. But, yeah, Freddie is, you know, all the way around. I mean, even his writing. I found the funniest story about him writing at a, obviously, at a hotel or something. And he got the an inspiration to write the song, which I will... looking through all these things. I have so much research on him. But they brought a, he was in the bathtub, and he got inspired, so the hotel brought the piano to his bathtub.
They brought the piano to his bathtub?
Yes. Yes, they did.
And he had he got out of the tub to play the piano, I take it.
I don't think he got out of the tub. I don't know.
Must have been a low piano.
Well, if they had just a keyboard, they could have laid it right across the bathtub for him. But I thought that was so funny because, you know, I mean, when he, you know, you get the inspiration, you got to do something about it.
What did you think of Rami Malek's portrayal of Freddie Mercury in the movie?
Oh, I think he did an incredible job. I really do. I when I heard they were doing the movie and I thought about who is going to play Freddie, I'm thinking, oh, come on. You know, how are you possibly going to capture this? And I think he did an incredible performance. I also found out that, you know, he lip-synced to Freddie's recordings, but not all of the recordings were quality, you know, film quality. So a person that was only billed a, you know, additional vocalist pretty much sang along with Freddie in the movie, and his name is Mark Martel.
Well, and he really knew how to play an audience. Freddie Mercury did, didn't he? I mean, just with that little clip I played from the Live Aid in 1985, where he had the band doing, with the audience doing what he was doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was pretty genius.
Oh, once he got out there. You know, I kind of compare him with, I saw David Bowie live, and you couldn't take your eyes off of him while he was on stage. And Freddie has had the same thing. He, once he was out there, he was ruling it. You know, he did, he, whatever, I mean, anything he did, any move he made, the audience was right in the palm of his hand.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they were into him, and he was into them, too. And,
yeah,
you know, I kind of liked looking at some of the clips on YouTube, you know, how performed on stage, too, because he did have some magnetism to him, the way he moved around.
He was, you know, just the regalness of him. You know, he had such a strut. And, you know, he knew it. I mean, he knew that he commanded the vocal part of it in such a way that there was no comparison. It's kind of like, you know, Frank Sinatra.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Freddie just knew when he got out there, it's like, I got it, and you want it.
But Frank didn't move around on stage a lot. Not like
no.
Freddie Mercury did.
No. But he had, they kind of had similar attitudes, I think, about knowing that they had the voice.
Was he wealthy when he died, Susan?
Yes, he was. The funny thing about it that I found is that when he passed away, he had lived in the house with his... you know, his partner, Jim Hutton, for many, many years. And when he died, he actually left his estate, including his royalties and most of his money, to Mary Austin, the woman that he was engaged to.
Aha. Uh-huh. Is she still alive?
Yes, she is. And when she moved back into the house, she made Jim move out. And Freddie left Jim $1 million, and Jim moved back to Ireland and passed away in 2010.
Ah, you know, I also noticed I had read about a month or 2 months ago, Elton John, when he was originally engaged to some girl, they broke up as well. But just recently, she needed some medical attention, and he picked up the bill for her. And I thought that was a classy gesture.
Definitely, yeah. They were married for a short time.
Were they?
Yeah, she was a music producer. And they married for a short time, and it's nice that, you know, Elton would do that. And Freddie, he really credited Mary with being the best friend of his life. And he kind of, you know, when he left everything to her and she was a little bit, you know, questionable about, like, why are you doing this, he said, look, we were married. We should have been married. And if we were married, you would have this after I die.
Was the Queen band still operating up until the moment Freddie died, or had they stopped before that?
I believe that they stopped right before that.
But they were still basically functioning, right?
Yes. Yes. But they, you know, the last couple of years of his life, he spent very home alone, or not alone, but I mean very reclusive and at home a lot.
And then once he went into the hospital, that was it. He went downhill after that.
Yeah, he did. I think he died at home.
Sad story.
Yes, he did. He died at home on November 24th, and he was 45. And his best friend, which I had no idea, is one of his best friends, Dave Clark of the Dave Clark Five.
Dave Clark Five, sure.
That died when he died.
Yeah, that was a good group, too.
Yes. Oh, I loved the Dave Clark Five. They were so, so cool.
Why did so many great groups come from England? The Beatles, the Rolling Stones, Queen, all of them.
You know, I honestly believe, because of all the research I've done, is that, okay, they were in a situation that wasn't as free as the United States as far as, like, access to records and, you know, things that were going on. And I know the Stones, I mean, everybody really listened to the blues and listened to Chuck Berry and listened to, you know, Jerry Lee Lewis and Little Richard, and it comes out in their music. And it's just, you know, they were raised differently, and there is something about bands from England. I mean, are there any bad ones? I don't think so.
If they are, we don't know who they are.
Exactly.
Bohemian Rhapsody, We Are the Champions, these songs still continue to grow and play, don't they?
Oh, they get bigger all the time. And recently I saw that Another One Bites the Dust is one of the most requested songs for a funeral.
Really?
Yeah.
for a humorous funeral.
Well, it's that one, and then the second choice is Bohemian Rhapsody.
I want them to play Softly As I Leave You at mine.
Oh, that's nice.
I want people to cry.
Aw. Yeah,
of course, knowing Tom, he'll play Another One Bites the Dust.
Well, mine's going to be all AC/DC, and that's, you know, I'm going to have earplugs handed out at the door.
What's your favorite AC/DC song?
Let There Be Rock.
Is that their classic?
It's amazing. I mean, they do it at the end of every show, and Angus, that's where Angus goes into his, he goes up on the riser, and he throws himself on his back, and he twirls around in a circle, and that's astounding in itself. But the thing that I love more than anything is I have never once heard that man miss a note.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.